Erevin Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav 2:6, the last of the Perek and the last of our topic. The truth is that the structure of this Mishnah is that Rabbi Eli is going to give three halachas that he believes were the psak of Rabbi Eliezer. These three things stand alone. The first one is related to our existing topic. The other two are off topic. And in all three, he's going to say, I heard Rabbi Eliezer say this. The first one is in contradiction to what we said in the previous Mishnah. It's a different sheet than what Rabbi Eliezer said. The other two are also at odds with what we see elsewhere in other Masechtas. And in all three cases, he will end up by saying that V'chazarti al kol talmidav, I went to ask all of his other students, aside from me. U'bikashti lichaver, I went and sought out someone who agreed with me that Rabbi Eliezer had said these things. V'lo matzasi, but I couldn't find anyone who agreed. So that means that Rabbi Eli is testifying what he believes he heard. But notwithstanding that, the halachas are not like him in any of these three cases. But here they are. The first is going to deal with the question we've been discussing in the last Mishnah, and so, which is the question of the gina and the karpef and how big it can be, since it's a makum shelo hukaf ladira, since no one's living there, how big it can be to one can carry, that would one would still be allowed to carry inside of it, notwithstanding the fact that it has proper machitzas, since it doesn't feel like a private place because it's so big. Am Rabbi Eli, Shamati Rabbi Eliezer. I heard from Eliezer, says Rabbi Eli, the filhi kabes kur. As far as the halachas of the gin and the karpef are concerned, even if they're the size of a base kur, which is a very large area, you could up to the size of a base kur, you could still carry there as long as there are proper machitzas. It doesn't matter that it's not hukaf ladira. A base kur is 30 times the size of a base sa'ah, meaning that a kur is 30 times the volume of a sa'ah. And since we said in the previous Mishnah, he allows up to a size of two base kur, that means that we're giving, two base sa. So that means that here Rabbi Eli is saying Rabbi Eliezer is giving a size that's 15 times bigger, not two, but rather 30 base sa in area, which means if you do the math, 2,500 is one base sa times 30 is 75,000. 75,000 square amos, a very big area. Okay. What he contends is that there is such a din about the base sa'asayim, that the two sa area, but that applies, according to Rabbi Eli, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that only applies if you have like some kind of valley which has natural mechitzas. You'll recall that a mechitza simply means anything that's offset from the public by having a 10 tefach high offset. Now, the truth is, if you have a steep slope that rises or falls 10 tfachim over a horizontal distance of 4 amos or less, so that's considered to be a mechitza. And if it's natural, it's still considered a mechitza. So according to his opinion here, Rabbi Eli's opinion, the time when you're only allowed to have a area of besa, sim to besa, is where you have natural mechitzas, and therefore if it's very large, it doesn't feel like a walled in area at all. It feels like a public place. So that's not sufficient. But in the case of regular conventional mechitzas, you know, a fence around or something, then it can be very large, even the size of a base kor, 15 times bigger. Okay, that's the first of the three opinions that he is going to suggest, Rabbi Eliezer said. V'chein, and also says Rabbi Eli, Shamati menu, I heard from him, from Rabbi Eliezer, that anchi chatzer sheshachach echad mehen v'lo erev, in a scenario where you have a number of people living and they have some, let's say, in a chatzer, in a courtyard, and they have a shared living space, like the courtyard itself, as opposed to their private homes. And if what's supposed to happen is, you know, the truth is that this is the topic of the sixth parak. I'm going to say it very briefly here, because we go at it at great length in the sixth parak. But very briefly, if there's a shared common space, you're not supposed to carry from your private home into that shared common space, the chatzer, or from the chatzer back into your private home, because midrabbanan, it feels, Chazal were concerned that it feels like you're going from a true private place, like your home where no one's allowed to be besides you, to a place which, at least in terms of residency, there's multiple residents that walk around here. It's private and it has the halachas of it's a rishus yachid because it has walls around it. But still, since it doesn't feel so private because your neighbors all use it as well, Chazal said you can't carry there unless you set up an Erev Chatzeros, which essentially is food which combines everyone to be like kind of like a single consortium. They're living together. So if one person who's a resident has a home that opens up into the chatzer, but he doesn't participate in the Erev Chatzeros, so then he makes it so that no one can carry in the chatzer, because it's like there are two groups that have access, not one group. There's the consortium of the other people there, plus him. So the requirement is that if he didn't set up before Shabbos to participate in the Erev Chatzeros, a plan B would be for him to relinquish his rights to carry inside the chatzer, and by doing so, he like becomes a person non grata. He's out of the picture, leaving just the consortium of residents as the only entity that has rights there, like a single entity. Therefore, they can carry again. As for this guy who relinquishes rights, he is now considered to be like their guest, if you will, and he can certainly carry from within the chatzer and from the chatzer to their homes. The question is, what's with carrying from the chatzer to his home? Okay, so the setup here in our Mishnah, as the Gemara gets done with it, is that he explicitly says he relinquishes ownership and rights to carry in the chatzer. So that's fine, but he's inexplicit about whether or not he's also ceding his own home's residency to the consortium or not. So it's ambiguous. So Rabbi Eli says that Rabbi Eliezer held that he was generous, so to speak, in other words, that if he doesn't say explicitly what he's intended, we assume since he's trying to help them anyways, the rest of the people that are residents there, by relinquishing his rights to the chatzer, he also relinquishes his rights to his own home. And that being the case, we won't let him carry from the chatzer into his home, because such an act would look like he's reneging on the whole bitzel, on the whole relinquishing of rights, which would undermine everything and make it that no one could carry anymore. And therefore we say that he's not allowed to carry into his home, whereas the others could carry into his home, since when he relinquishes rights, we are assuming he relinquished the rights to access his own home to them. So now for them, they have access to his home privately, like they do the chatzer, and therefore they could carry in and out of his home, just not he can't. And that's what the Mishnah says here. V'ken shamati mimenu, I heard from him also, says Rulai, regarding Rabbi Eliezer. Anshei chatzer sheshachach echad mehen, v'lo erev, if you have a bunch of people living in a chatzer together, and one of them neglected to participate in the erev, so then he agrees to be mevatel and relinquishes rights. He says, I'll relinquish my rights to you guys, but he was inexplicit regarding his own home. Beso aser, we assume he meant to include also his home in the relinquishment, and therefore, as far as his house goes, it's forbidden milahachnus lahotzi lo, for him to bring stuff in and out of his home, because that would look like he's really taking over and transferring from his home to the rishus, to the shared area, and that sort of undermines his bittul, says he wasn't serious about it. Avalehem mutter, but since we're assuming that he meant to include his home in the transference or the ceding of rights to other people in the chatzer, they could carry in and out of his home, even his stuff. The other Talmidim, if you will, who aren't going to agree with this, said no. And we'll get more on this in the sixth parak a little bit. He only meant to include his public, but not his private home, and therefore the private home remains his, and they cannot bring stuff into his home, no way. The third din is, V'chen shamati menu, I also heard from Rabbi Eliezer, says Rabbi Eli, sheyotzin ba'akravin ba'pesach, that there's this bitter herb called akravanin, which looks like a scorpion somehow, hence the name akravanin, which means scorpion-ish, and you can use that as your maror, as your bitter herbs on Pesach and b'yotzi. In the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, the Mishnah lists out five things that you could use to be yotzi your chiyuv, your obligation to eat bitter herbs. And the Mishnah lists five: chazeres, ulshin, tamcha, harchavina, and maror. None of those, of course, are akravanin. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is adding a sixth. The halacha is not like that, although there are, by the way, halacha lamaisa. Many who understand that the fifth on the list, maror, includes any bitter thing. That would include akravan after all. And therefore, halacha lamais, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if you can't use one of the items on the list, and you just use any generic bitter thing, like akravan, for example, you would use it, but you wouldn't make a bracha. Okay? So anyways, in all three of those cases, Rabbi Eli had an unusual masora regarding what his Rebbe said. He'd heard it himself, but apparently no one else heard what he heard. And therefore, the Mishnah ends by saying, V'chizarti al kol talmidav, I personally, says Rabbi Eli, went to all of his students, seeing if any of them had heard the same thing as me. Ubikashti li chaver, I sought out someone who would be on my side. V'lo matzasi, but I couldn't find anybody, meaning everyone else didn't hear what Rabbi Eli is sure he heard from Rabbi Eliezer. Now with that, we finish the second parak of Erevin. That's the end of the topic that we discussed so far about setting up, you know, boundaries and how these partitions work, etc. Starting from the third parak, we'll begin a new set of halachas that are the halachas of Erev Tchumen, as we'll explain Be'ez Hashem shortly.